titled The Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony. The Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony, message number 90 in this homily series. It's very fitting that I preach this today, because today is Veterans Day, and I have committed the sin of gluttony on a mini of Veterans Day, because I am a veteran and I have taken advantage of the free meals that veterans get. And my oldest daughter, Danny, has been my partner in crime, as she would go get the meals for me at the various restaurants as I was practicing my sin, my sin of gluttony. Eating more food than I need. Now, last year, for the first time in years, I did not go and get a meal, and the food is so good for the first time. And however, I am thinking about this year, asking you, I know we're on this 21-day fast until Thanksgiving, I'm thinking about asking you all for permission to partake of this Veterans Day. I'm thinking about it, to get at least one good meal and enjoy the fruit of my labor, and to receive my honor, and then just add another day at the end. So you pray for me, and be willing to show me some grace if I choose to do that. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 25, verse 16, just one verse. And so we will not be long. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Holy Father God, we thank you for all of your holy word. And your holy word is amazing. Thank you, Lord, for leaving it behind for us. Some call it a love letter to us. And because you deal with everything that needs to be dealt with for our lives, for our victory, for our conquering, and for our success. And even the matter of how we should eat and not eat. Have mercy and grace upon me and thousands upon thousands of other Christians, both black and white, red and yellow, Christians who are full of peace and full of your joy and full of the spirit of celebration. And we overdo it, and we have overdone it. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of the ugly sin of gluttony, and help us to truly repent of our sins, and to turn from our evil ways. And Lord, help us, yes, to celebrate on certain days, but Lord, not every day, and with food and drink. Help us to repent. Help us to stop closing down buffets, and even actually saying that to our friends. And Lord, help us to turn from this sinister evil that is so insidious and so slick that it has deceived the people of God, making us totally oblivious to this issue and this problem. We can see very clear-eyed the sins of others, but we can't see our own sin, the beam and the beefsteak is in our own eye, but we can see the splinter in the eyes of others. So Lord, break the band of wickedness in our lives, during this fast, the Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving 21-day fast, so that we will never overdo it again and get control of ourselves and practice self-control by the power of your Holy Spirit. We also thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who don't overdo it and who have learned to overcome this issue in the church. And Lord, as I have said many times in the past, we need to at least acknowledge the problem. And Lord, I believe that we can get on down the road of peace. Because right now we have a situation where everybody's fat almost and nobody says nothing. We just keep on going to the restaurant for more fellowship. And nobody, we act like we're totally oblivious to our fatness and our obesity, our rotundity. And we see it, but we're blinded to it. And we just keep overeating until we get sick and they want to put us on dialysis. And then we want to change, but oftentimes at that point it's too late. So Lord, help us to repent while we have space to repent. Thank you for lovingly and gently bringing this subject up and giving us space to repent, knowing, Lord, that most of us do it out of a grand spirit of celebration that all Christians have, all Christians should have, but we have to reel that in. Help us to do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, for your glory, your praise and honor, and for testimony's sake, for the salvation of those who are lost around us, who are fit while we're fat, and they are looking at our sin of gluttony. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, this is indeed an uncomfortable subject for many of us. But if you listen and take heed to this message, to this particular series, it can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. This proverb can be summarized with these words. You say, "Preacher, what proverb?" The proverb we just read. "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee." I want you to take close, to pay close attention to that phrase. "Eat so much as is sufficient for thee." That goes for everything, people. Only eat what is sufficient. By the grace of God, I've gotten to the point that when I get a bowl of food too big for me, I can now save it. That's very unusual for me. "Lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." There are people who eat too much and then they lay down and they want to vomit because they ate too much. That's some nasty gluttonous behavior right there. So this proverb can be summarized with these words: too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Amen, somebody. It's amazing to me how that when I'm preaching on something else, the amens are low. When I'm preaching on my sin, the amens are high. Okay, that's good. That's all right. That's as long as you say amen. It warns us against overindulging in the good and pleasurable things of life, like eating and drinking. How many of you love honey like I do? How many of you can drink almost a whole honey bear of Walmart organic honey in your tea or your coffee or whatever. How many of you have been amazed when you buy the little honey bear jar at Walmart, that good honey, and as soon as you get it home, within an hour, it's half gone. Honey, Danae, is good. Honey is a healthy, natural food. It's good for you. Doctors have found that raw honey is a good source of antioxidants, whatever that is. You say, preacher, you don't know what antioxidants are? No, and you don't either. So just whatever they are, they must be good, okay? It has antibacterial properties. It can heal wounds. It is filled with phytonutrients, whatever they are. You say, preacher, you know what phytonutrients are? No, I do not, and you don't either. But they must be good. They must be good. So just enjoy them, whatever they are. And it can help with digestive issues as well. Honey is a good thing. However, if you have become diabetic, you need to be careful with honey. Why be careful, preacher? It's natural. There's a whole lot of things natural, but you got to be careful with it. You got to be careful with fruit as well once you become diabetic. But be that as it may, however, eating too much honey is a bad thing. That's what God is. How can eating too much honey become a bad thing? Man, I love honey. I love honey. Moving right along, researchers say that people who are already overweight and or diabetic should avoid it as much as possible. But you can have some, a little bit, if you can control yourself. If you're not going to drink the honey like water. I'm going to make me a little lemonade, and then the whole quarter of the bottom of the glass is filled with honey. Not good. Not good. The high honey consumption has a negative effect on the gastrointestinal tract and interferes with the ability of the intestine to absorb nutrients in food. Anyway, this proverb, ladies and gentlemen, of course, ought to be extended to all forms of eating and drinking and even all forms of human activity. Too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. Too much television is bad. Too much being on your iPhone is bad. Too much playing is bad. Good things can turn into bad things. Moderation is the watchword. Too much of anything can and will turn into a bad thing. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. Don't overdo it, Danny B. Don't overdo it. That's the problem. That's the sin. That's the evil with gluttons like me. We'll find something good and make it bad. Isn't that the story of the human race? We'll find something good, Danae, and mess it up. That's what's wrong with our society. That's what's wrong with the world. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, because he gave us everything we ever could want, and we, excuse the expression, screwed it up. We messed it up. That's why gluttons like me, we'll find something good and overdo it. We'll kill a big old bag of chips made with beans. We'll kill it. Kill it. Eat the whole thing. Shouldn't I eat no more than 3, 4, or 5? But we will make it disappear, woof it down, saying, deceiving ourselves and our mind. Well, it's made out of beans. We'll put a hurting on a box of raisins. Can't eat just one or two. Can't eat a handful. God, we're going to put a hurting on it. We're going to, the box of raisins will be screaming out and hollering, hold up, hold up. Trail mix. Certainly trail mix. Anything that says trail mix is good for you. They have a trail mix now called breakfast trail mix. Oh, it tastes so good. And put a hurting on a whole bag. Too much of a good thing turns out to be a bad thing. See, that's the problem with gluttons. We eat too much, even of the good stuff. We go to the health food store thinking that we'll be all right, and we overdo it there. Statistics show that 20% of individuals suffer from food addiction, and that number is much higher among those of us who are obese. I know you don't like that word, but hopefully that word will scare the hell out of you and make you stop eating too much. According to the Yale Food Addiction Scale, the most addictive foods, and they're right. I'm getting ready to name the most addictive foods right now, and they're right, are processed foods that are usually high in sugar, fat, or both. Let me help you. The study found that, you say, oh, I don't know what that is. Well, let me help you. The study found that the top 15 foods people are most addicted to are, boom, number one, pizza. There it is. Oh, yes, you know. Second, chocolate. They're hitting on it. They're hitting right on it. Third, potato chips. Bam-a-lamp. Fourth, cookies. Oh, my soul. What? You know they right. Next, ice cream. And here's the big one. Here's the big one right here. Some French fries. They got it, buddy. They hitting right on it. Cheeseburgers. Soda, cake, cheese. There's a black woman on YouTube. She's a fan favorite. She got a whole lot of followers. She says, matter of fact, she says it very comically in a very funny way, but she says that, matter of fact, black people love cheese. Black people love cheese. And she said, fat people love cheese. Fat people love cheese. People just crack up. Fried chicken? Bacon. Oh, bacon. I don't know anybody who does not love bacon. Bacon, bacon. Notice now, mushrooms are not on here. Avocados are not on here. Lettuce is not on here. Tomatoes are not on here. Onions are not on here. What? Broccoli is not on here. Okra is not on here. Rolls. I'm reminded of the commercial. Have you ever had any of those Hawaiian rolls? They melt in your mouth. I'm reminded of a commercial. There was one roll left. Grandfather turned around to his grandson. They both were sitting in the easy chair. And they used the easy chair like a little car. And started pumping the easy chair towards that one roll. These Hawaiian rolls are so good that one man hid the rolls in the wall. And somebody went on the other side of the wall and found the rolls. Buttered rolls. Oh, my soul. Are you kidding me? Here you go, popcorn and breakfast cereal. You know it. All of the gluttons, you know, they're right. You know it. Why is it that we don't have a gluttony problem with okra and broccoli, cauliflower, and carrots, and salad without bearing it under dressing and cheese and ham and everything else? That's not a real salad. That's a meal. You have killed the fatty calf and just put it on a bunch of lettuce. And so, now most of these foods, ladies and gentlemen, should only be had on rare occasions. It's okay. Some of them can be had more frequently in moderation. However, when we eat these or any foods, we ought to eat an appropriate portion. Here it is again. Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. The truth of the matter is, beloved, you know, let's just be honest. This is about all you need. You see my fist? That's about all you need for a meal. Now, you need to eat again later. But when you eat that meal, this is about all you need. Unless it's a salad, you can eat more of that. Lest thou be filled therewith, the Bible says, and vomited. Most of us eat beyond the point of sufficiency, don't we? We eat until we are stuffed and feel satisfied in our minds. However, while the stomach may crave more food during meal times, we must not give in to the lust of the flesh. By the grace of God. And the truth of the matter is, like everything else, this is a spiritual matter. We must eat with our minds just as much as we eat with our bodies. We must learn to tell our bodies no and only eat that which is sufficient for us at any given time. And so, beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, next time we will continue looking at what this passage tells us about overcoming gluttony, obesity, and God's plan for man's eating habits. Before I leave you, allow me to share a few practical steps. The Rave Diet and Lifestyle by Mike Anderson continues to share with us the importance of exercise as a part of your dietary changes. One pastor just asked preachers, "Do you exercise?" Now, ever since God called me to preach almost 40 years now, before I preached, I would go walking. Back in the day, not too many years ago, I would go running before I preached. I'm here to tell you that it makes a difference. Preachers, getting that blood flowing through your brain makes a huge difference. And now I do some other exercises. I'm too old to do like I used to. Anyway, Mr. Anderson writes, walking is probably the best exercise for all of us. It's easy, cheap, and gets you outdoors. And getting outdoors is very important. You can get on the walk at the house, and you can do your little thing at the house. But getting outdoors is very, very crucial, because the fresh air does something to your mind, preachers. It helps you a lot. And he even says it can do wonders for your mental state. It wasn't that long ago that walking wasn't an exercise at all, but a form of transportation for the vast majority of Americans and people in general. So try to find opportunities during the day that allows you to walk more instead of driving to a destination. Isn't it amazing how so many people try to find the closest parking spot? But one of the best things you can do when you go to Walmart or to your favorite grocery store is park way out and then walk on in. Always get at least half an hour of exercise a day, he says, or 45 minutes five times a week. If you've had a busy day, even 15 minutes can be beneficial. Try walking for 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening. Mr. Anderson guarantees it will transform your life within a month. Get out in the sun, he says, occasionally. It will bring some perspective into your life. It's the best way to get vitamin D. And recent studies have shown that moderate exposure has a protective effect against all sorts of cancers, including skin cancer. Just the opposite of what we've been told for the last 20 years. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to take this loving and mild rebuke, which we deserve, a harsh rebuke from you. But Lord, for some reason, you've chosen to be very gentle with us about this. But Lord, help us to take advantage of the space we have from you to repent and to turn from our evil ways of gluttony, eating more than what is sufficient for us. And then, Lord, on top of that, eating the things that we know are not good for us. And we keep putting it in our bodies. Have mercy and grace upon us in your church and forgive us of our sins, of the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, and help us to repent of this evil sin, because it's just as wicked as anything else. While little kids have poked out stomachs all around the world, we throw away more food than they can find to eat. And Lord, and we're fat, we're obese, overfed all across this country in churches when we ought to be giving that money to the poor. And Lord, have mercy and grace upon us, and only you can change our hearts. And we pray that you would. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, before I leave you today, in closing, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly must still address the condition of your soul. One of the problems with our sinful nature, we overdo it in almost everything. Some of us overdo it on exercise and being fit to the neglect of our soul and our spirit. Some of us overdo the Christian life of celebration to the point of getting so fat we are about to die. That's how the sinful nature in us works, always going to extremes. And so you may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die. We all will, and the only thing that will matter is the condition of your soul and my soul. Is your soul in shape before God? Is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin and the consequences of sin. He alone can save your soul, but He alone can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and ensure that you do not perish in that awful place called hell. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in hell. Your unbelief does not change the fact. You can say, I don't believe in New York City, but your unbelief will not change the fact that New York City exists. So now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here is how you can trust Him as your Savior today so that you can get your soul in shape and your soul saved from the punishment of sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all will die. Black, white, red, yellow, fat, skinny, rich and poor, our bodies will be put into a grave. Our soul will go either to heaven or hell. If we trusted Christ as Savior, we will go to heaven. If we didn't, we will go to hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a dark place. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. Hell is a place of outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is also a place that once you go behind the gates of hell, you can never get out for eternity. That's the saddest aspect of hell to me. That's bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, that is, but have everlasting life. Where? In heaven. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible guarantees it, the Lord guarantees it in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about it, dear friend? Are you ready to trust Christ as Savior? Whether you're fat or skinny, black or white, rich or poor, are you ready to get your soul saved? Are you ready to get your soul and your spirit in shape before God, before you die and go to hell? If you are, believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for you, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and I guarantee you, based upon the word of God, he'll save you. There's no maybe so about it. If he can save me out of religion and out of the club at the same time, he can save you. So follow me in prayer. Phrase by phrase, I count it a privilege to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Millions have prayed this prayer down through the years, or one similar. Pay attention and repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I have a sinful nature, and I have sinned by choice, and I have sinned by nature. My sins, Lord, are too numerous for me to even recall. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I know that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things. I've committed the sin of idolatry, putting people and things over you. I have stolen things before. I've lied before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, was seen by many, and ascended up to heaven to sit at your right hand. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Thank you for saving my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. And help me to repent of my sins past. And to turn from my evil ways. And to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray, and for his sake, amen. God bless you, dear friend. I'm telling you, I get just as much of a joy out of leading you to Christ than you probably do. I don't know. But I thank God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just the most powerful thing on earth. And so, dear friend, if you believed in your heart in the wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He was buried and rose again, was seen by over 500 brethren plus the disciples, Mary Magdalene, and then he was watched while he was ascending back to heaven. That is the gospel, dear friend. That is the good news. Allow me to say, if you believed on him and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com. Or whatever email is in front of you, or Twitter address, or Facebook address, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith and help you understand the newfound faith in Christ. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved. It's been such a joy and privilege to be with you today. May God bless you, and may God keep you, for God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.